rather overwrought opening sequence of the film 2001 A Space Odyssey, our primitive ancestors are depicted as making a leap in development when they receive enlightenment from what appears to be an enormous singing block of Lego. In fact, the reality of our ancestors' actual first paradigm shift and cultural development, with the discovery of fire, was almost equally as dramatic. Last week I talked about humankind's ability to harness non-food forms of energy, the scale of which distinguishes us from all other animal species. And fire is where it all started. For the first time, a species was making use of the solar energy stored by plants, not via the process of eating them, but by burning them, thus releasing the stored energy at a much higher rate than would otherwise be possible. Now, the conventional view of history is that as civilization has slowly developed, so new forms of energy have been harnessed. But over the next few episodes, I'm going to argue that that point of view is exactly the wrong way around. What I'm going to propose is that the harnessing of new forms of energy, or the exploitation of old forms in dramatically more efficient ways, has allowed humankind to make paradigm leaps in development. And it is only after these leaps in development have taken place that new forms of civilization have been able to grow and flourish. And the very first of these paradigm leaps occurred when ancient hominids exploited the energy in plant material by burning it. The date of fire's first use is somewhat disputed, but a reasonable midpoint figure of the various theories would be around 500,000 years ago. What isn't disputed, however, is fire's enormous impact. The thermal energy or heat released by the combustion of plant biomass not only enabled early hominids to ward off predators, but also enabled them to hunt game much more effectively by using fire to flush animals out of forest areas into places where they could easily be slaughtered. Furthermore, the judicious burning of vegetation enabled large-scale modification of the local environment. The removal of scrub and forest by fire made it possible to produce the conditions which favoured edible plants for gathering, or to create the types of habitat and stimulate the secondary growth of vegetation that would attract game animals for hunting. Not only that, but campfires provided light during the night and, more importantly, produced sufficient supplementary heat to enable hominids to spread out from their original habitat in the tropical regions and migrate vast distances into Central Asia and Northern Europe. And lastly, of course, fire enabled the cooking of foods. Cooking is something we do so often that we almost forget the many benefits that it provides. For a start, it allows the human digestive system to extract a greater quantity of energy from meat than many edible plants. It also kills foodborne diseases and parasites, a fact that's quite reassuring if you're ever invited to dinner at a student flat. And of course, cooking makes palatable otherwise inedible plants such as acorns, karaka berries, and one of the foods I'm preparing tonight, potatoes. Fire even allows the preservation of food through drying and smoking. But it's one of the implications of food cooking that's perhaps the most interesting point about the early use of fire. You may not have noticed, but up to now, I've been very careful to use the word hominid rather than human. That's because the first beings to harness energy by burning plant material weren't human. They were of the species Homo erectus, and they were using fire in a controlled manner for at least 300,000 years before the arrival of Homo sapiens, modern humans. Now, some anthropologists have speculated that the ability to cook food with fire was especially important. They theorize that cooking acted to de-emphasize the evolutionary importance of chewing, and therefore made the skull strength required to support the massive jaw muscles found on Homo erectus much less necessary. And in turn, this made it possible for subsequent hominid species, such as humans, to function with larger, less sturdy skulls, which could house correspondingly bigger brains. If this theory is correct, then it could be said that fire didn't just enable early human civilization to develop, but that the harnessing of fire by earlier hominid species actually made it possible for human beings to come into existence in the first place. And if that isn't a dramatic consequence of energy usage, then I don't know what is. Now, it's a fascinating and slightly bewildering fact that although fire has been used by hominids for perhaps 500,000 years, for most of that time, nobody actually knew how to make it. Again, the exact date is uncertain, but a midpoint of the estimates for when humans first figured out how to use fire bows, fire saws, or flint to produce a flame is around 10,000 BC. Ironically, just in time for the end of the last ice age. Before then, fire was gathered from naturally occurring events, predominantly as a result of lightning strikes. Once gathered, the fire had to be kept constantly burning in sheltered locations such as caves, although it could be transported over quite long distances by carrying embers damped with soil, moss, or leaves in receptacles such as hollow logs. However, this was a risky business because for early hominids, the consequences of fire going out could very easily prove fatal. The ability to make fire rather than just gather it was one of the first steps in what some have termed the Neolithic or New Stone Age revolution. The very next step was another dramatic change, the development of agriculture. It's been suggested that hunter-gatherers' manipulation of the landscape through fire in order to favour their preferred type of plant and game led naturally onto the concept of domesticating animals and crops. That's something that will probably never be proved one way or the other. But what can be asserted without contradiction is that, with the possible exception of certain riverine habitats, Homo sapiens could only embrace agriculture through the use of fire. Fire created the type of pasture that I'm standing in now, which is required for grazing animals. It purged the fields of weed seeds and pathogens prior to the planting of crops. It promoted nitrogen-fixing bacteria, and ash from fire released valuable nutrients into the soil. Until the advent of fossil fuels, the energy required to perform these tasks was simply not available from any source other than the burning of plant biomass. In fact, the Neolithic style of agriculture with fire, termed fire fallow farming and fire forage herding, is still being used today. Controlled burn-offs are an annual event on many modern farms in New Zealand and elsewhere in the world. Agriculture brought a population explosion and the development of permanent human settlements such as villages, towns, and eventually cities. And of course, it also led directly to humankind's second great source of energy, animal labour. By 3000 BC, pack animals were being widely used in North Africa, Europe, and throughout Asia, a development which greatly increased both the quantity and range of trade goods. And shortly after this date, archaeological evidence shows that animal power was being used to pull ploughs and haul wheeled vehicles in what is now modern-day Iraq. But energy from animals was only possible with agriculture, which in turn required energy from fire. The next technology that would arise from the flames, so to speak, would propel humanity right out of the Stone Age and into the Age of Metals. But more on that next week, when we visit one of the great cities of the ancient world, Alexandria.